Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, I'm welcoming you out for a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that want to, you're so tired of working so hard for money, you want your money to start working harder for you today. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity right now, not 30 or 40 years from now, if you're lucky. But you want to be able to work because you want to, not because you have to. Be able to spend that time doing what you love with those that you love whenever you feel like it. You have that freedom to be able to do those things. But on top of that, you want to create something greater. You want to create a greater impact in the world, a life of meaning and purpose. Be able to use the God-given talents and gifts you've been given so you can use to spread that to others, to be able to create that ripple effect in people's lives. And not just your children, but everybody else around you too, guys. And that's what I'm so excited about today, guys, because you've allowed me to create a ripple effect through you. And this show has been growing and it keeps expanding. And that's all because of you guys, right? Seriously, you are some of the best listeners I have ever had. And I would argue to say we've got the best listeners out of any of these shows here, because you guys are here for something more. You're not about the status quo. You're not here just to live a life of, the mediocrity, right? You want something more. And that's what we're here for. And that's why I'm here for you. So thank you so much for checking this out. Check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great other videos and blogs that are on there, as well as podcast episodes you can check out, and a free ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, you can check out there today. So check it out.
Hey, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Pre-REO. Guys, if you've been looking for that opportunity to either hold a great note or to be able to buy a property at a deep discount, be able to take that property, partner with Pre-REO to be able to buy this property at a discount, fix it up, and either rent it or sell it for a nice profit. If this is something you've been interested in doing, you should check out Pre-REO's stuff here. Go to prereo.com/moneyripples to check out more information. So check that out.
All right, guys. So I want to talk about a massive pandemic that's been spreading, and it's been getting worse this year. Guys, I'm not talking about COVID-19. That is by far not the most pervasive virus, the most pervasive pandemic we have going on right now. If you think that's the thing that you should be worried about, then you are falling into the trap that everybody else is falling into, because that is not what we should be concerned about today. That is very little, very few of it would even be impacted by that. But I guarantee what I'm talking about today, every one of you are going to be affected by. Every single one is guaranteed to come in contact with this pandemic, this virus that is spreading throughout our societies, throughout every country across the world. And it's in your very own homes. In fact, I guarantee it has been in your home every single day, not just this year, but probably your entire life. And it's been affecting you, and you may not even notice it. This pandemic has nothing to do, again, it does actually have something to do with your health. It does kill people, literally does kill people. It has been known to start wars. It has been known to actually devastate entire societies and even destroy them at its worst. At its best, it has actually created lives of lack. It's created a life of fear. It's created a life of suffering. People have committed suicide over these very things. Like, this is something that is really pervasive into all aspects. It's destroyed people's faith. It has destroyed people's hope. It has destroyed people's marriages, their families, and their lives. So guys, this is not a crappy little tiny virus called COVID-19. It's not even the flu. It's not even anthrax. It's worse. What I'm talking about here is something that's pervading between all people. It's scarcity. Scarcity is the thing that's destroying people's lives. It's creating a spiritual weakness among our people, even among us U.S. citizens. It is destroying our societies. We are seeing an entire generation rise up that is falling victim to this and then trying to guise it as something of being more quote-unquote woke, being more you know, really being more enlightened. But in truth, if you look at history, this has actually led us down a path of destruction. Now, I know this show is about creating hope, and I'm not going to disappoint you. There will be hope here, but I really want to really impress upon your minds the severity and the importance that this must change, and it starts with you, because I guarantee your life has got some of these things too, just like mine does. All of us are imperfect. All of us are doing things that are in some ways not helping society, right? And it comes from this basic emotion of fear, greed, impatience, entitlement, and ultimately scarcity. It all comes back to this. Now, I know some of you guys say, hey, I've worked so hard on this. I've worked hard to have an abundance mindset and all that, Chris. I get it. I'm there with you. But I can tell you from my own firsthand experience that I'm not perfect with this either. If you're a human, if you are a human being, I guarantee that every single day, scarcity tries to sneak itself in. If you ever experience any kind of fear or doubts or worries, that's scarcity. If you experience any kind of feeling of being a victim, right? If you ever feel you've been victimized, that somebody harmed you in some sort of way, not saying that you haven't had harm inflicted upon you, but how you choose to respond to it means everything. If you've ever had a situation where you felt entitled to something, like I deserve this or that, or whatever it might be, you're a part of this. If basically you're part of the, I'm sorry to say this, because I used to be one myself. So again, I'm speaking from my own experience here, but if you're part of that liberal socialistic agenda, you are destroying society, period. If you believe in socialism, socialism destroys prosperity. Now, you might think there's elements that are good about it. Yes, it creates this nice utopian image, but unfortunately behind that utopian image is actually destruction. Now, it always comes back to, once again, scarcity. By the way, capitalism with scarcity is also destructive. So don't think it's just any one system. Now, if I were to pick any system that engenders prosperity, it's capitalism in its pure form, not in the really, it's a socialistic version of capitalism, which some people will try to guise as being capitalism, but in truth is actually scarcity disguised as capitalism, right? And so that's the kind of thing that I see as the most dangerous thing. Now, I believe it starts internally with us personally. This is not just a political thing or an economic thing. This is a personal aspect. For example, you know, when we talk about money, right, we'll go there easily. If you have fear or worries about money, that scarcity is destroying you. And trust me, if you know anything about my story, you know I've dealt with massive financial scarcity. You knew that even in the last recession, even after I was able to retire the first time, in the last recession, because I cut off streams of income, because I got lazy on being a wise steward of my money, right? Even tracking my money, I wasn't even doing, because it was coming in like air. It felt so abundant, I became lazy with my stewardship. And what happened is when I became lazy and prideful, that is when the downfall came. And that's when I actually started to lose money. That's when I found myself in the hole, $16,000, $15,000 a month. I was short each month. And that eventually led to being over $1 million in debt, especially when markets started crashing and real estate and things like that. I was affected. Again, because I was in that gambling mindset, I was trying to skip steps to hit the prosperity, you know, really applying those true financial principles that do work always. But again, like I was trying to shortcut things. I was trying to create it. And when I went to more scarcity, I made dumber and dumber decisions, right? You know, I'll give you an example. I mean, you know, when I first started, I worked with a guy named Garrett Gunderson. Some of you guys might know him. We started a company together. And when I did that, I was like, hey, I'm going all in, you know? And when I started going all in, I still had my multiple streams of income. But after a while, he said, hey, Chris, you need to be a team player. Get rid of these other quote unquote distractions. You need to be focused all here. Now I was bought into the mission about teaching people things kind of like I'm teaching now, right? So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. But something in the back of my mind bugged me about that. Well, of course, when that happened, what happens? I lose those multiple streams of income. And then bam, you know, I don't have enough income coming in. I'm making $5,000-$6,000 a month from active income working with that company. Unfortunately, the people we were marketing to were real estate investors who were now no longer had money to pay anything. So I was only making maybe $5,000-$6,000 a month, but between my business and my personal expenses, they're right around $21,000+ a month. So with all that going on, you know, one, there's personal consumption happening, but two, there's also the business and those upstart, you know, the startup costs we had going on. I was in the hole. And the funny thing is he actually didn't cut off any of his streams of income, but I did. Now, here's the thing. I could act like a victim in that period of time, say, hey, well, with everything going on, I couldn't have predicted what was going to happen, that the markets we're marketing to were real estate investors that were really gamblers in the real estate market, not really good in real estate investors. I could have, you know, said, hey, I didn't know that throwing money in my house, like Dave Ramsey would suggest, would tank all of the equity out of there. And I lost all that money that sat in there. Thank you very much, Dave Ramsey. I could have blamed Dave Ramsey for that, right? Just like I said there, but it wasn't. All of those decisions, all the market conditions that were out of my control. It wasn't me, right? I could be the victim here. I was victimized. It was like the perfect storm, but in the George Clooney sort of way that kills everyone. Sorry, spoiler alert on that movie, but it's 20 years old. It's at this point, if you haven't watched it, you probably don't care to. Anyways, but that's the thing. I could claim to be a victim, but is that useful? No, it's not. The thing is, there are people that came out of that recession that are still to this day victims. They still feel victimized by what happened. And what happens as a result? They do not progress. They do not prosper. And even if they started to get to a place where they feel like they're better off. I didn't file for bankruptcy. I could have. Yeah, I had every justification to do so. The numbers definitely justified it more than most people that claimed for bankruptcy at that time. But I didn't. Now, if you did, if that was you, fine. Whatever. That's your choice. My point is this, is that every decision you make is your choice. You are not a victim. If you want to be the hero of your story, you cannot play the victim role. Victims remain victims and die. Think of a horror movie. All victims die, right? And no one likes a story about the victim. Those are not the fun stories. Those are the movies or the stories that people just want to end now. Here's the thing. Every hero, though, has challenges. Every hero goes through something they have to overcome. And it may not necessarily be a financial ruin type of thing, like a situation like I had, right? It may not be that. It may not be a situation where someone has to die. It might just be personal, you know, emotional struggles, right? It could be all of those things and then some. But here's the truth, is that we are in control of our lives. We have that control. Now, what's happening right now in this society is we're relinquishing control. We're saying, hey, politicians, solve it for us. Figure this out. Help us out of this mess. You know, first off, if you're relying on politicians, remember, politicians are only voted out of the people. When you complain about a politician saying, ugh, the politicians we have nowadays are stupid. Well, guess what? You voted them in. Now, you might say, I didn't vote for that person, that guy or that woman. I didn't vote for them. Doesn't matter. The fact remains that as the general populace of the people think one way, you allow certain candidates to come into play. Now, you might say that person was a better candidate, but they may not have been. You know, they may not have been the better candidate. The reason why Reagan won so well is because he was a great communicator. Many times I see great candidates that are not great communicators or seem like crazy people. The cool thing about a guy like Reagan back in the day, if you ever watched some of the speeches he gave, he dumbed it down for the American, not as dumbed down as Trump, but pretty close, right? He dumbed it down into plain language, but he taught principle. That is the key that most people don't do. Most people focus on policy, but they don't focus on principle. He would bring up principle. He would even use humor as jokes to make it seem stupid to believe against that principle, because principles govern. Principles are true whenever. So he would be able to knock down beliefs by teaching true principle. He was a teacher. That's what got him elected. So the problem is, do we have teachers being elected? No, we don't often have teachers being elected. Now, someone might say, hey, we had Ron Paul. Cool. Ron Paul was great. He didn't have the marketing behind him. He had some, but again, he was lacking on those things. If you get them to work together, then it's awesome. Now, I get it, because a lot of the people I vote for don't get voted in. But it doesn't stop me from trying. It doesn't stop me from still doing my part, especially as a parent where I've got children. I don't want them growing up as being this crappy generation, right? Of just entitled, spoiled jerks. Like we've kind of seen with some of the millennial generation, not all, but some, right? We saw this happening. We saw what the consequences were of giving participation trophies out, right? When there wasn't a winner or a loser, like everybody's a winner. Well, then when life hits them hard, they're not prepared, right? They weren't prepared appropriately. Not their fault, our fault. I'm part of Generation X. That's our generation and the baby boomers as well, trying to soften up the blow for our children. That wasn't good. There's a whole nother generation, worse than the millennials being raised right now. They have the potential to be the greatest generation. But unfortunately, once again, even us Xers, right? And now there's millennials starting to raise some of this generation too. It's perpetuating and it's going beyond. And we hear people that are, you know, these politicians saying, hey, it's not your fault what's going on. You're the victim. They're having you play in this victim role, which is so nice that you could play a victim, right? It's so nice to say, hey, it's not my fault. It's not my fault at all. In some ways that's true, and in some ways it's not. Because to say it's not your fault, to then claim that you were a helpless victim is not useful. This is when somebody can step in and come in. By the way, Nazi Germany, that's all it took. You just had to have a leader that pointed out saying, hey, it's not your fault. It's this group over here. They did it. And by the way, it wasn't just Jewish people that they massacred, right? They massacred people like Jehovah Witnesses. They massacred other Christians just because they weren't the mainstream. We're seeing this today, guys. We are seeing this very thing happening. And how do they do it? They get it to you when you're at your lowest, when you're feeling the most scarce. Germany was dealing with economic situation. We're not even there yet. We're seeing great all-time highs in the markets. We're seeing all-time highs in real estate. Now, the problem is that we're not seeing all-time highs in employment, are we? We are seeing some things that aren't quite equating to one another. There's some weirdness going on in the marketplace, right? But as long as the government keeps pumping in money, it artificially keeps it going, right? As long as money keeps circulating, because one true principle is exchange creates wealth. As long as money's still exchanging hands, everybody still stays wealthy to some level. Once that stops, once something happens with this exchange, boom, we collapse. Now, I could go on for hours and hours about these different aspects of scarcity, right? But the one I want to go into is about being spiritually and emotionally strong. This is required. And yes, when I talk about spirituality, it could be religion. It may not be religion for you. But there is a point of this moral focus on principles, not just policies or strategies. We talk about strategies all the time in this show, right? We talk about all different kinds of things you can do, whether it be with real estate or other types of alternative investments, right? We bring up all kinds of stuff. Even, you know, we've even brought up franchises, which I'm looking at investing in myself. We've brought that kind of stuff on the show too. We've all these things you could be doing outside the norm, the mainstream. If you're following me, I guarantee you're probably not wanting to be part of the mainstream. And you're probably already agreeing with this message. But I believe that we have this responsibility to stand up as leaders. This is why I want you financially free. Now, you don't have to be financially free to make a difference. Understand that a lot of the coolest things I've done was when I was broke. Understand that the cash flow process I created for my clients and helping them find money, that in that ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, that happened when I was broke and trying to be resourceful. The cash flow index, I taught about the best way to pay off your debt, happened when I was broke. Now, creating ways to create multiple streams of income, I did it even when I was struggling with money. I wasn't flat broke, but I still wasn't, you know, hugely prosperous. I wasn't retired yet, but I learned those things along the way to then once again retire or be in the place where I can retire. Obviously, do I look retired to you? No, I'm still working 10, 20 hours a week, right? I'm telling you lately, it's been pushing close to that 20 hours a week. I'm getting closer to my max and that sort of thing. But that's the thing, guys, is that we are in this place of responsibility. We have the choice to show something different, to be in abundance. Even in those scarce times, you can still choose abundance. That's when you know you're a truly abundant person. When you choose abundance in the face of scarcity, when it's rearing its ugly head and it's in your face and you choose otherwise, that is when you know you're truly an abundant person. When you choose abundance in the face of scarcity, that is when you're an abundant person, not when things are all going nice and well. Furthermore, you're not a victim. You know, you actually can be the hero of your story when you could play the victim and you choose to be the hero. You tend to be the person that has faith when you're faced with something that would challenge your faith, but you still choose faith otherwise. When you choose something in the face of the opposite, that is when you have power. That's when you have control of your life. And that is when you have real, true freedom, true wealth comes in those places. But it starts spiritually being strong first, mentally and emotionally being strong, be able to choose this even when you're faced with this opposition. And then three, of course, make sure you've got your physical body in place, creating wealth in all aspects of your life, not just with your money. These things all need to be aligned. If you're not aligned in these areas, it doesn't matter how much money you make, you could easily lose it. You get my point here? That's probably the most important thing I could teach you is if you get out of alignment, if you're not focused on all these things of your life, you can lose it all, including the money, and even more so. And I know I've lost so much. I've lost financially. Hey, I've lost family. I've lost, you know, losing my, I've been through divorce, right? Really two divorces. I've been through a couple divorces on my third marriage because scarcity got in the way. If I really would take that responsibility. Now, was there scarcity and stuff on the other side? Of course, there's always two sides every story. But I had control of me. I could have chosen differently. Guys, this is so critical right now. And we have a generation of people being raised currently, right? That are just soft weaklings, emotional and spiritual weaklings right now. But I'm telling you, I've seen it in this rising generation. They have the potential, even the millennial generation too, if you want to criticize them, all of these, the younger generation right now has the potential to be greater than our generation, even greater than the potential of what they called the greatest generation, right? Those that were fighting in World War II less than 100 years ago, they called that the greatest generation because they would just do things because it was their job or their duty. They would do amazingly heroic things. They would overcome so much. They went through so much trial and they came out better. Guys, there is struggle going on in the world today. We have the potential. We have this generation right now that can come out stronger and better if we teach true principles. That is my hope I'm offering today. Here's a strategy to go with that. You've heard me probably mention this on previous episodes. You know, everybody that I know that's successful has some sort of morning ritual. You know, Tony Robbins calls it the hour of power, right? Some people call it the power hour. Some people call it the morning routine or the miracle morning or whatever little cute term they give it. They have a morning ritual. It focuses on mainly three key areas, although you can go into four or five. The three key areas are physical body, mental state, like your learning, your mind, and then three, your spiritual state as well. You know, how you connecting with your spirit, with yourself, and understanding who you are at the core, your passions, and everything else. So spiritual, let's start with that one because that is the vital one. Spiritual is, you know, I personally do this. Like when I do my exercise in the morning, depending on the exercise, some of them are so labor intensive, I have to focus on only the physical part, which is a form of meditation in some ways. But I'll do a prayer of gratitude. I'll also read scriptures and things like that, like Christian scriptures. I'll pray, you know, like I said, like prayer of gratitude, I'll even just pray in general. All these things are part of that. You know, you can journal, you can do yoga and meditation. You can do things of that nature or things that walk out in nature. You know, you can do physical and spiritual at the same time, but saying, hey, I can be healthy with my body and spiritually too. Mental, you could be doing that same thing walking in nature. You could put in earbuds. You could be listening to these podcasts. You'd be listening to audiobooks or reading actual books. You could be doing things to learn your craft, your trade, whatever it is you do to become better at it, right? All these things are part of that mental game. You know, even the emotional side too, learning about how to deal with the emotional side and getting your mind in check. That, by the way, the whole reason you do these morning routines is to get yourself in a place of winning. You do this so that you start the day in abundance. Because if you don't, you become someone who reacts, not someone who creates. You want to be a creator and a producer, someone that actually creates and is abundant and actually is about doing something good in the world. That requires you to do something more. It requires not just rolling out of bed like most of Americans today. They roll out of bed, they drink their cup of coffee, maybe eat breakfast if you're lucky, and then go off to work. And they're waking up they're trying to wake up through the whole day. By 2 p.m., they're finally starting to be productive. But by that point, their work is over, right? That is not what I want you guys doing. I want you to start the day off right. If you learned nothing else from this, besides the fact that I need to impress upon you that this pandemic is real and it's literally destroying people and is starting wars. It is creating massive chaos in the world right now. The world is burning, not just because of political ideologies, but because of the scarcity. All you have to do is get someone, if you want someone to take control of your own mind, all you have to do is go into a scarcity mode and allow them to talk to that scarcity. They talk to that victim part of you. They talk to that fear part of you. Fear is what gets people to start wars. Fear is what gets people to create force, communism, which actually is not a good thing for financial or for your own personal prosperity. By the way, don't you know that the founding fathers, what they created, they studied cultures over millennia. They were reading books in multiple languages, studying what happened with the greatest societies and what led to destruction of those same great societies. They set up the Constitution and everything they did when they founded this country in the United States based on that. And that created revolutions. The Revolution of America created revolutions in France and other places around the world. It created a catalyst of people really becoming woke. Right now, people are sleeping at the wheel. When they say they're woke, it's jacked up. It's not woke at all. It's just people rising up and using that fear and that scarcity to then try to demand justice. There are injustices in the world. I don't doubt it. And I want you to fight it. Same time, you cannot be a victim when you do that. And you can't say you're a hero while being a victim. The two cannot coexist in the same time. Just like fear and faith cannot coexist in the same person at the same time. Light and darkness cannot coexist. These things are darkness and is destroying our planet. And I guarantee wars will be started because of this. And people will start trying to force other people to do things that aren't right, that will violate our very constitutional rights, because they'll say out of fear, hey, this is the good of the collective. This is what's good for the community, AKA communism. This is what everybody needs. Trust me, that stuff is a lie. It's not. There are things that are good for the community, but it requires freedom and it requires focusing on true principles. And yes, with freedom means that some people will be free to choose crappy things. That means there will be people out of greed will try to rob you. Guess what? You punish them. That's what laws are for. Laws are to protect those freedoms, allowing everybody to prosper in that environment, to, you know, de-incentivize people from trying to do those kind of things. So anyways, guys, I don't want to go into a long rant about this, but I'm just telling you that some of the most important things I can teach you have nothing to do with these financial strategies. The reality is that if we don't really nip this in the bud right now, if we don't do this correctly right now, we don't become that example and fight for what's right and fight for principle. If we don't do that, what's going to happen is we're going to see a society that's going to get destroyed and you'll lose your money with it. So guys, I'm here to try to prevent that. I don't want that to happen. I want us to allow us to be abundant, free, and a peaceful people. Imagine what the world would be like if we all woke up. We all did this kind of morning routine. And when we woke up, we did it in a way that we looked at the world with different set of eyes. We didn't look at people trying to hurt us, right? As a place that's trying to abuse us, but looked at a world of opportunity, a world where we can be a creator in that world, where we can create something new. All amazing leaders created something new, or they created something that's really been old. All the things I'm teaching right now are things from years, but we forget. We're always constantly in a state of place of remembering or forgetting. Right now, we're in a world of forgetting. We forget that the things that a lot of people are burning, literally burning cities for right now, right, is the thing that destroyed societies. It actually does not do any good when you try to create destruction. You have to be a creator. You have to do something more. You have to be someone more to create greater prosperity and peace in your life. And in this chaotic world, don't we need peace more than ever? That requires you guys to stand up, to be something big, to choose faith over fear, to choose creating value for people versus trying to screw people over, for lack of a better word, to try to exploit them or steal from them. Even if it's legal plunder by using the government to create laws to then legally steal from you, as Frederick Bastiat would say, it's legal plunder. We're not doing that, guys. That is not cool. If you wouldn't feel comfortable forcing somebody else to do or making somebody else give you money, then you shouldn't ask the government to put somebody at gunpoint to do the same thing. And yes, laws are essentially going to be at gunpoint, because if they keep disobeying the laws and you try to refuse prison, refuse arrest or resist arrest, you get shot. So it is by gunpoint at some point. So guys, I don't want this to happen. I want us to be powerful creators in this moment, being spiritually, mentally sound and strong and faith-filled and full of abundance and choosing that and teaching our next generation to do the same thing, guys. That is my challenge to you, but it starts with you first. Focus on fixing your crap first, get yourself in a better place, and then help others do the same. Guys, make it a wonderful and prosperous life, and we'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.